Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Create a brighter future for your employees with Zurich Corporate Pensions. Trust excellence. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
Now, there was a heated debate today about the long waiting list for services for children with disabilities, with over 10,000 children waiting for assessments of need, the essential gateway to treatment. In response to a Labour Party motion in the Dáil, Junior Minister for Disability Anne Rabbitt confirmed that she will allow private treatment for children with disabilities to be recouped from the state. And Minister Anne Rabbitt joins us now from the Dáil studio. You're very welcome, Minister, to the programme this evening. We might start with that figure of more than 10,000 children with disabilities waiting for what really is an essential first step. That's the assessment of their needs. Crucial gateway to the services that they need, and 10,000 children waiting. It's not acceptable, is it?
No, it's not, Sarah. In actual fact, it is the first gateway into many areas, the assessment of need, whether it is into getting interventions, into getting access to education. Families need to have that assessment of need to actually know what pathway that they need to be put on. So to me, when I came into office back in 2020, to me, that was a priority. I cleared a backlog of 7,500 at that time. And I now have more than 10,000 young people and their families leading assessment of need. So what I said today in the Dáil, and let's be very, very clear about it, is that I have conversations going on with the HSE at the moment that I need to have 6 regional assessment teams set up. I secured 11.5 million in last year's budget. If those regional assessment teams are not stood up, I wish to repurpose that money to ensure that families can privately accept or privately access assessments themselves through the proper channels, through those that are actually would be known to the HSE and would be validated, that assessment of need would be then be able to be used to the various segues into interventions.
All right, so I might just bring you back a little bit just to get clarity on what you're saying. So you got the 11 million in the budget last year for use this year, is that right?
That's correct, Sarah.
Okay, the 11 million was to be used by the HSE to set up 6 regional assessment centres. What would those 6 regional assessment centres do?
Yeah, so the money was got actually was just very clearly to clear the assessment of need. That's exactly what the money was to got. Because the number is so great, the conversation is that we can't put it out bit by bit to every single one of the 90 CD&T teams because they don't have the capacity on their teams. Like we hear every day that they don't have enough staff. By doing regional assessment hubs, you would actually allow the 91 teams to continue with the interventions, and the assessment hubs would actually give the assessment, and then they would have a round table, and you would know whether it's back into primary care, over into CAMHS, into disabilities, that where you need to find your proper pathway. So it's when you leave after having your assessment, you know exactly what team you need to go on to get your intervention.
All right, but those 6 regional assessment centres haven't been set up?
No, they have not.
And why is that?
Because the HSE are still exploring as to how they would devise it.
You don't sound too impressed with that.
Not at all, Sarah. I have over 10,000 children needing assessment of need. I secured money over 9 months ago at this stage, and it's not spent, all the while that families are waiting and needing assessments. And like, those assessments are crucial for for that intervention, but also for young children that are starting in school or transitioning into education. It's a need within education that if they don't have that assessment, they cannot access education.
And has the HSE told you, or have you asked the HSE why the centres haven't been set up at 9 months after securing the funding?
Now, to be very, very fair, I have to be very fair to Bernard Gloucester. I have met with the man once in the last number of weeks, and to be very fair, he has made this a priority. I only moved department from the Department of Health to the Department of the CD on the 1st of March, and I have huge support within my department. Okay, I suppose I'm running out. I'm very frustrated, Sarah, to be quite honest with you, and that commitment I gave on the floor of the Dáil this morning, I had discussed throughout the debate with Minister O'Gorman that we will have to do this if the HSE cannot provide these assessments by the 1st of August.
But I'm wondering, has anyone in the HSE told you what the problem is? Or is there a problem?
I suppose really one of the problems that they would have cited would have been procurement. One of the problems would be, would there be capacity there? Perhaps they were also looking at trying to work it in tandem with the existing staff that were there and exploring working with private capacity. I genuinely am very clear on this. We cannot pull on any one of the 91 teams that are there already. They are under pressure. So at all times, I'm trying to ease the pressure. I am trying to create capacity by just doing the assessment of needs and at the same time bolstered the resources. Like we've 700 unfilled posts on our teams at the moment while allowing staff to come on board and actually ease the transition for staff as well as families.
It just sounds to me, Minister, like as if it gets to August, the 1st of August, and these regional assessment centres haven't been set up by the HSE, and then you use that 11 million euro to reimburse parents who have to pay for private assessments. It's sort of going backwards in terms of the way we want to go with healthcare, isn't it? It's outsourcing to the private sector.
Well, I think we've always worked with the private sector, to be quite honest with you, Sarah. We already have that relationship. There is a procurement process there at the moment where the HSE cannot fulfil their own capacity in-house where they can go out to the private sector. In actual fact, the level is so low that they're not able to keep engaging with the private sector. And that's why I would have had the conversations around procurement so as we can actually expand that. And to be fair to Bernard Gloucester, he totally understands where it's been coming from in relation to working more with the private sector to actually use more of that capacity that's there.
So will the 11 million, if it is used then to reimburse parents who go for private sector assessment, will that be enough to pay for all those private sector assessments?
Well, when I would have budgeted back last September, that at that point was to address that backlog. Now, granted, the backlog has grown since. There's no denying that whatsoever. But I do think that the funding I had secured last year was actually at a ballpark was looking for about to support 10,000 young people.
And will there be a time limit given on it that if you only, for example, if you've been waiting 3 months, if you've been waiting 6 months, how long will it be before you can go pay for your own private assessment?
That would be something that will be worked out. Well, I suppose, really, to be quite honest with you, we know what the law says, that if you aren't seen to within the 6 months, then we're in breach of the Disability Act. Mm. So, like, we have to work to the law. So we're already in relation to long waiters. Like, I'm well in excess of 10,000 at the moment.
Yeah, I think David Cullinan, Sinn Féin's David Cullinan, said in the Dáil today that I think it's 4,206 of the overdue applications have been waiting for more than 3 years.
And I'm not going to, I don't have those figures to hand in front of me, but the figures that I have been that there is more than 10,000 children waiting an assessment of need.
Duncan Smith from the Labour Party said without early intervention, diagnosis and swift access to supports, a child is at risk of permanent developmental delays. Do you accept that?
I do, absolutely. And that's why I'm very...
So those 4,000 children plus who have been waiting for more than 3 years, the state has put them at risk of permanent developmental delays.
Well, to be fair to the HSC, they would say that when a child comes before them, that they do a preliminary, there was preliminary assessments done on children there under the PTA. It was the court ruling that decided that that was actually in breach of the child's rights to have more access to an assessment. So that's where the paralysis has set in since last year. I am very clear again, Sarah. Intervention is what the key here is. We need to cure the backlog. We need to get kids in front of therapists.
I just wonder about the urgency of it, though, because as you say, the backlog has actually grown since you got into government. So since your government has taken over, this problem has actually got worse.
No, it hasn't, Sarah. Let's be very clear about that. It has not. When I came into government, there was a backlog of 7,500 people. I secured 6.8 million. I used that 6.8 million to clear it. What happened there, and that was under the old assessment of need process that could take up to 39. Yes, there was a court ruling last year. It is worse, and that's why this is why I've prioritised it. That's why I've said what I've said. That's why I secured 11.5 million. That this cannot continue. There's urgency with me, there's urgency with Minister Gorman, there's urgency with the government and the department. What I'm saying to the HSE is if you do not use this funding in the regional assessment hubs, I will work with private providers to ensure that families can get the access that they need.
Just a final question. There's some parents texting us telling us they've spent between €800 and €2,400 for assessments. So huge, you know, range there in terms of treatment. Will parents get fully reimbursed regardless of what it's cost them?
An assessment is an assessment, and if an assessment needs to be completed, we would have to, there is a variance in that, Sarah, to be quite honest with you. So if a child needs to get an assessment and that's what's required, it has to be paid for, whether it's done through the HSE or it's done privately.
Okay, so if it costs €2,400, it has to be paid for.
That's exactly it.
Okay. I want to ask you about 300 international protection applicants that are to be housed at Ballybrit in Galway. Plans are underway to transform two full blocks at Ballybrit Business Park into a temporary 62-bedroom hub. Are you supportive of this plan?
Yes, I am, Sarah.
And have you any concerns about it?
Well, I suppose, like, the way I look at this is that at the end of the day, people need to be housed. They need safety and shelter. And I don't believe it's in one town or one city needs to take full responsibility for it. I think that the scenes that I've seen in Dublin in the last number of weeks, I think if there is providers there that have capacity, they can assist us in this emergency. I am prepared and I welcome to work with all.
I know you've been contacted by businesses in the area. Are they worried about, for example, some of the scenes that we've seen around the country, as you've mentioned, far-right protests, for example?
Absolutely. They would be concerned from the point of view that they would have their own staff going to work morning or evening, exiting and entering. And they don't want their staff caught up in any of these protests, to be quite honest with you, Sarah, nor should I want to see any of that. And that's a genuine concern that employers have. The employers have no problem with welcoming and in supporting our international protection people that need assistance there, the 302. But they do have concerns about their staff. Absolutely.
And do you think there's anything that can be done to try and alleviate those concerns or prevent that situation arising in the first place, taking into account the right to protest?
And there is the right to protest, and there's the right to the peaceful protest, and there is the right to people to feel safe going to and from work. And I think there will be a collective responsibility from the community in Galway to ensure that that happens. And I have no doubt that the Chief Super and all in Galway will ensure that people feel safe going to and from, and also that the people that are living in the accommodation, that they also feel safe, that they can leave and they can walk and enter as they so wish.
I want to ask you as well about Floatels, because the Department of Integration now has confirmed that officials are exploring the option of sheltering refugees on Floatels, as they're being called, and cruise ships to try and alleviate what is obviously a severe accommodation shortage. Is this, as far as you're aware, now a very serious proposal or plan?
I'm not part of those conversations, but I have no doubt that the department has to look at every single option. I do welcome the fact that we are getting accommodation like what we have seen in Ballybrick come forward. I would like to see more of that sort of accommodation. I think it's more natural, to be honest with you, Sarah, and I think it gives people more freedom and more access to be incorporated or included within the community. But I can understand why the department would have to look at all options. Like, we are in an emergency and it's evolving on a daily basis.
Yeah, I know government officials are looking, or said at least, to be looking at what the British government has done in Dorset, where the government there has used a three-storey barge to house hundreds of asylum seekers. But we were speaking to someone about that, I think it was last week on the show, from the UK, and they were saying it's really come under an awful lot of criticism in the UK, not least because the people on the barge have to get little shuttle boats to and from shore if they want to go to the shop, for example.
Yes, and look, at it wouldn't be my number one option, but if we have no options, Sarah, that's the options we have to go with. We are limited in capacity. We're looking for all capacity available. So that's why when you hear of sites on industrial estates coming forward, the department are very keen to work with the providers to ensure that we can actually use that as accommodation.
I just want to bring you very briefly as a final question, Minister, back to the issue of reimbursing parents, because I'm conscious that there might be a lot of parents listening there right now whose children have been on waiting lists for years or however long, who might be hearing that one way or another they should be getting access to assessments for their children come August. If they go out today and pay for a private assessment after waiting for 3 years, for example, or waiting longer than 6 months, which you said is in the law that service should be provided to them, can they expect reimbursement? Will it be backdated?
No, it won't. I was very clear in my messaging today on the floor of the Dáil. I says I need this to work with the HSE. I need the regional assessment hubs. And can I explain to you why I need the regional assessment hubs to work, Sarah? Because see, when you have that assessment, it's very important that you're put on the proper, correct pathway, whether it's into a CDNT team or if it's into public health or onto CAMHS. What I am tired of is children being put from one waiting list to another waiting list. We need to ensure that children are on the right pathway to intervention, and it has to be about getting to intervention as quickly as possible.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon. That's Minister Anne Rabbitt. You can let us know what you think to 51551.